resurrection brought. You know, what just another ordinary day, but it was a day that changed everything. And when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, friend, doesn't it change everything? And not that it becomes perfect, because it's not, and not because it comes easy, because it's not, but it does become complete because Jesus is there in our life. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to John chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20. We're going to look at the Easter story from John's perspective this morning. And John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, says, "Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple who Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and as they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths laying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not laying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laid. And then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' And now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Sir, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' And she turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her." What a marvelous story, a story that's so unbelievable it cannot be made up. I mean, you just couldn't think to make it up. A story that, though there were lots of people that had a lot of reason to deny that it happened, had to admit that, yes, indeed, it happened. And the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus is one of the best attested historical events that's ever happened in human history. And it is an event that has changed history unlike any other event. Partly because it was the ultimate reason why Jesus came. Understand that Jesus came and he gave his life on the cross of Calvary on that Good Friday. You know, at the cross, we sang about that earlier this morning. And he paid my sin debt and your sin debt and all the sin debt of all the world, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And that was mighty important. But the resurrection is the central, the cap of why Jesus came. Yes, he indeed did come to pay our sin debt. But then he rose from the dead. And the fact that he rose from the dead means that the power of death had been defeated. And it no longer, in fact, had any power. Jesus had conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible says that if we are found in Christ, then we also are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And that's the wonderful news of the gospel. So yes, Jesus came and He died and He shed His blood. That's mighty important. But the central fact and the thing that the Christian faith hinges on is that Jesus is not dead. He's alive. That is the central, most important truth to the Christian faith. And so we're given this great reminder that how much God loves us, and to the great extent that He'll seek after us, and He'll do what it takes to meet us where we're at. And that's the good news of the gospel, my friend. And so just a couple things that I want to remind us about what the Easter story, what Resurrection Sunday means. And the first thing I want us to see and to remember is that it is Jesus that gives new life. There is a paradox, and we all know it to be true, that things that are dead, they tend to stay dead. When we have a loved one that dies, we mourn, we have a funeral, we bury it. Why? Because their body is dead. And we know that, you know, nothing is probably going to change that. And so Friday happened, and Saturday happened. It was not an ordinary Passover celebration, at least for Jesus' disciples and those that believed in the teachings of Jesus. And so when Sunday morning came, there were at least three ladies. Mary Magdalene was one of them. They go to the tomb to worship and to put spices on Jesus' body. Why did they do that? Well, there's something about Mary Magdalene. It's very interesting that she is the one that the Gospels mention was the first one to find that Jesus was gone. Because Mary Magdalene was a lady that nobody in town would have wanted to hang around. She was a woman that had made a lot of mistakes in her life and was certainly a sinner with a capital S. And yet Jesus went and healed Mary Magdalene and made her whole. And then Mary Magdalene was allowed to go with Jesus. And she followed Him. She observed His teaching. Her life had been so changed and so impacted. Though nobody else in society gave a care about Mary Magdalene, Jesus did. And by the way, Jesus cares about you too. And so Mary knew that Jesus could change a person. And she continued to realize more and more how Jesus changes a person. And she came to realize the full truth that it's Jesus that is the giver of new life. Well, I want us to think for a minute about another Mary. Is it Mary as it is today? Mary was a popular name in the Bible. There's lots of Marys. So we're going to meet another Mary and her sister Martha. If you have your Bible, turn just a few pages over to John chapter 11. And John chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, to set the stage for this story of what's taking place here, Jesus has interacted with Mary and Martha and her family in the past, and as well as their brother Lazarus. Well, Jesus gets word that their brother Lazarus has died. And they call for Jesus to come. And so that's the kind of backdrop of where we pick up. And in verse 23, it says that Jesus is talking to Mary and said, Mary, your brother will rise again. And verse 24 says, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And so Jesus, as he addresses Martha and Mary, says to them and reminds them of the important truth. And he asked Martha very pointedly, after he says, I am the resurrection, and he said, do you believe this? Do you believe what I've told you? And she makes the declaration, yes, I believe it. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You're the promised one. I believe. And so Jesus proclaimed this truth to his friends and reminds us, and the disciples were reminded after his death and resurrection that Jesus had told them that he would be crucified, that he was going away, that he was going to be betrayed, but that when he went away and he died, he would be raised again on the third day. It didn't make sense to them then. They didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. But the reality is that it was because of Jesus' death that new life was possible. Because Jesus conquered death. He conquered the curse of sin and makes the gift of life available to anyone. Isn't that good news? That it doesn't matter who you are. And I've had plenty of people say, preacher, you would not say that if you knew what I'd done. You see, God does know what you've done. And he says, I love you anyway. And that there's grace and forgiveness that comes from new life in Christ. See, a lot of folks spend lots and lots of money trying to find a new life. And guess what? They find things are worse than they were before, and they're just out money. They don't have new life. Why? Because we cannot make new life ourselves. But there is one who can make our life new. And his name is Jesus. And here's the thing about Jesus. We don't have to pay him one dime. We can't buy this new life. Jesus purchased it for us and gives it as a gift. I don't know about you, but I like getting presents. And here's the thing about presents. Presents are something you don't buy for yourself. Presents are not things that you give to somebody expecting them to give you something in return, though often that's what happens. No, a gift is something you give to someone, you buy it for them, you wrap it up, you give it to them. But here's the thing, somebody has wrapped you a gift, they've bought it, they've wrapped it up, they give it to you. Guess what? It's not yours until you take it and you unwrap it. And the same is true with the gift of new life that Jesus offers to absolutely everyone, this gift. And it's not coming from self-help book, it's not coming from trying to be better, it's not, doing different things. Rather, it's coming to know Jesus Christ and letting him give us new life. And that's a big difference. But also we find in the Gospel of John, in Jesus' resurrection story, in the story of Mary Magdalene, in the story of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, in the story of the 12 disciples, an important truth that not only does Jesus give new life, but Jesus also gives new hope. Because you see, Mary Magdalene is a woman that was living life without much hope. She was going through motions, understanding that she was an outcast. Nobody wanted anything to do with her. And yet after she meets Jesus, she's much different. Not because of anything she's done, but because of what Jesus has done for her and in her. Jesus has changed her. And the message of Jesus should give us hope. And I tell you that this world desperately needs hope. And the only hope that can deliver us is not a politician. It's in the Savior whose name was Jesus. That's the only hope any of us have. And so let's look back in John chapter 20 and finish that story. We left off in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And so Jesus here reminds us of the important truth that, listen, the resurrection changes things. And the disciples were cowered up in the upper room where just a couple days earlier they had celebrated the Passover feast with Jesus. And now they return to that same borrowed upper room with the door locked, by the way. I think that's an important stipulation that John shares with us. They had locked the door. Because they were afraid of the Jews, that they were going to come and do the same things to them that they had done to Jesus. And by the way, most of them do die a martyr's death like Jesus did. Because they continue to proclaim the gospel message. And yet, now Jesus shows up in the middle of this room. And he doesn't say to them, "You sorry rascals, why are you cowered here? Do you think I sent you, I called you to be my disciples so that you could hide up in this room?" He didn't say that. But he said to them, "Peace be to you." Jesus knew their fears. He knew their failings. Peter was in that room. Peter had just denied knowing Jesus. And in the next chapter, Jesus is going to restore Peter. But he knew all their failures. And Peter wasn't the only one that had betrayed Jesus, but and, you know, had lost their faith and lost their way. They were cowered in this upper room. And Jesus walks in and says, "Peace." And he says, "I give you peace, I give you hope, and I give you a mission. Just as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you." Because the hope and the peace that Jesus had given to these disciples, the disciples were to share that message with everybody else, including the Jews that they were afraid of. I want to call your attention to Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. The Apostle Paul is writing this, but he says, "God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." By grace you've been saved. Then go on to verse 6. Bill. And raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places with or in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What's Paul's message? What's Paul's point there in Ephesians 2, 4 through 7? The hope we have needs to be anchored in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, not in ourselves. You see, left to our own devices, there isn't hope. But there's not a situation and there's not a person on earth that's hopeless. That's beyond hope, because Jesus can turn anything and anyone around. We've seen that, and there's so we're all testimonies of that truth, that God can and will save anyone if we will just reach out. And the hope that we need, listen, the hope we need is not more money, it's not better stuff, it's not in a better boss, it's not in better parents, it's not in better children. The hope we need can only be found in God. And so then as we wrap up, let me call your attention to Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. It says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So just as Jesus rose from the dead, and he is not dead but is alive, God says to you, you're not dead either. You're alive in Christ. Now, if you're in your own self and you're working on your own power and your own strength, you are dead. And you are without hope. But that's by your own choice. And the moment you'll trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he'll give you these two things. He'll give you new life. Friend, can I tell you, no matter how good of a life you think you have before you met Jesus, I can guarantee you, you only start living when you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus will give you new life, regardless of what you've done. And regardless of how much you don't deserve it, God will give you new life. And then secondly, not only does Jesus give us new life, but Jesus will give you new hope. Hope, listen, it's found not in yourself, not in your stuff. It can only be found in your Savior. And the power of the resurrection. And Easter morning serves to remind us that what seems to be dead is only resting. And a breakthrough comes. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, if anybody is in me and they, though they die, yet they shall live. And he continues to proclaim that message today. And I ask you the question that Jesus asked to Martha, do you believe this? You see, your answer to that question really is the only answer in life that really matters. Do you believe this? Because if you say yes, then that impacts your life and you live differently. Because you understand that you can't do it on your own. But Jesus can do it for you, and he will. Now, I'm so thankful that God is a God of new life and new beginnings. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for the power and the hope of the resurrection. Lord, thank you for those that have known that hope, that have known new life because they have a relationship with you. Lord, we pray for those that might be here this morning or those that are watching on the internet that don't know that new life and don't know that hope, would you help them to come to receive the greatest gift that they could ever possibly know? The gift of Jesus Christ, who paid our sin debt and rose and conquered the death, hell, and the grave, that we might have life and that we might have hope. Lord, help us to make sure that we are anchored in you, because that really is where our life and our hope stem from. So help us, we pray, to do that, to do it faithfully. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you that even though we don't deserve it, there's not one here today that deserves your love, that deserves your forgiveness, that deserves new life. Lord, there's also no one here today that cannot receive it, because you've given it to all, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you for that great truth. Amen. Friend, let's stand together. As we close, I can hope you say, you know what, I sure am glad I got up and went to church this morning on Easter Sunday. And I hope God spoke to you and you say, you know what, God is good. And there's a decision you need to make for the Lord today. Today would be a great day to make that decision. So let's sing this hymn of response.